News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.
And so to the EU Council presidency, which of course kicks off for Ireland today, and ceremonies at Dublin Castle to announce and celebrate that fact. And it is from Dublin Castle, surrounded by the smell of fresh paint, that we are joined by Sean Defoe. Sean, give us a sense of what's on the agenda there.
Morning, Anthony. I'm in the courtyard of Dublin Castle at the minute, where those final preparations are going on. You'll probably hear the put out seagulls in the background up here, who are very discommoded by the massive stage that has been set up in the middle of the courtyard. They're currently working away on that, literally polishing flagpoles as I'm looking across. Chairs all set up for a large audience, and what looks like a pretty big musical performance is going to come as well. We were wondering, is it going to be, you know, some sort of river dance moment maybe for Ireland? Perhaps not quite. On that level. And the final preparations around Dublin Castle, like very significant Garda presence in around the city this morning, if you're in around it, especially near this area, a couple of road closures as well, and a huge Garda presence inside the castle as well, the plainclothes Gardaí here in force. I have my own Garda escort actually to take me up here, such as the security that they're, seriousness that they're taking up here.
Well, we hope you've managed to keep your feet on the ground, Sean, despite this new lofty status that you've been elevated to. It is easy to make jokes about fresh paint and all the rest of it. Micheál Martin has been saying, look, let's not get carried away. This is not the time to be cynical. This is actually an important thing for Ireland.
No, he has. And look, it is. The difficulty is in explaining why something as relatively abstract as the presidency of the European Council is important day to day to people who are listening on their way to work this morning. How is it going to affect them other than road closures? And I suppose it's like trying to explain the soft power maybe Ireland has in the EU or the UN. It's, you know, chairing all of these meetings for 6 months. It's being at the centre, setting the different agenda. Ireland is going to have the presidency while the EU budget for the next 7 years is agreed, which is no small thing. And I think it's pretty significant that along with the president of the European Council, Antonio Costa, he's in Dublin today to meet the Taoiseach and do a press conference. They've also invited Volodymyr Zelensky, who will be here at the launch at 2 o'clock and is also going to speak to the media to kind of reinforce maybe when Ukraine has been forgotten a little bit with all the other maladies going on in the world, and as that war drags on and grinds on, that it is still of massive importance to the EU and that Ireland still has a big backing for Ukraine and indeed supports Ukraine's membership or membership application, at least, of the European Union, even though that's going to be a few years down the line yet.
Sean, thanks very much. That is Sean Defoe, News Talk's political correspondent there at Dublin Castle. With me in studio is the Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence, Helen McEntee. And a lot of what Sean was talking about there lands to some extent in your areas of responsibility in terms of the EU budget, security and defence, obviously now a very significant part of that. And likewise, the role of the EU in supporting Ukraine militarily and financially, very significant. Let's go to the first of those. Are we credible in chairing discussions in terms of EU budgeting for defence, in terms of influencing spending in member states, when we spend such a tiny, paltry amount on our own defence by comparison to other EU member states?
So firstly, can I mean, just say this is a really exciting time for Ireland. There's a lot of things happening in the world. There's a lot of things happening in the EU. There's a lot of challenges, but there's a lot of opportunities here. So this is only something that comes around every 13 and a half years where we not just chair the meetings, but where we have an opportunity to input and to essentially steer the agenda for the European Union for the next number of years. And I mean, with that comes huge responsibility, and it's something that we're absolutely up for in terms of the challenge. Are we capable? Are we ready? Are we able for it? Absolutely. And actually, there's a huge expectation that Ireland will achieve a huge amount. We have a history and we have, I suppose, in the past, delivered a huge amount during our presidency.
But what about that issue within your area of responsibility? What about defence? We have a situation where if you take by comparison, we spent, 0.25 of GDP, of 1% of GDP on defence. Finland is 10 times that. And the one major issue that is facing the bloc is that military and defence threat.
So look, this is about, firstly, will you talk about the budget? We will be at a critical point in agreeing an overall figure. And that's something that Ireland has been tasked with and something that we are working towards and we want to achieve. And how that's then broken down, we're going to be spending the next 2 months. So our officials in the EU level within Brussels, but also the work that we'll be doing with countries and the meetings that I and other colleagues will have, it'll be looking at different scenarios. How much are we spending on CAP? How much are we spending on security and defence? How much are we looking to spend on competitiveness, which is obviously a key priority during our presidency? And it's about finding that balance and finding that compromise. And whether we spend X amount compared to other member states or countries, what's important is that we have an ambition to do more, that we want to work closely with other countries.
But can you hold your head up when you're sitting around the table with the Poles and with the Finns when they say, well, look, your airspace is protected by the RAF and you have no primary radar. You have been contributing almost nothing to your own defence. How can you be in a position to discuss European defence?
So can I say we have a huge amount of credibility on this? Well, we might not spend the same as other member states. We're a neutral country and we have been always. And that is something that is respected because the way in which we have contributed to peacekeeping missions for decades across the world is something that we are seen and renowned for. But also our contribution when it comes to finding solutions, resolutions, our positions on UN Security Council seats, our positions on UN bodies and what we bring to the table is something that is respected. But I think also the fact that we're very committed to doing more. So, I mean, since coming into this role, I've made it very clear we're going to spend more on defence. We already are. We're going to do more when it comes to protecting, you know, our maritime security. We have a new strategy there. We are going to contribute when it comes to supporting each other at a European level. We will be tasked with producing and progressing the next European security strategy. So there is a confidence there that Ireland can navigate and can steer and can act as that neutral arbiter, whether we spend X amount compared to other states or not. It is about how we can compromise, how we work closely together, okay, and how we have that shared objective. Because we're not the only neutral country. We're not the only country that has a smaller army. And what's important to stress is that we're all in the same boat here. So the challenges that we talk about and the risks, we're not on our own here. Okay. So there's other countries that have faced the same type of security challenges as we have.
Some of the challenges that you're describing are sort of the rubber is hitting the road now, because in terms of maritime security and in terms of national security, we heard there earlier on Volodymyr Zelensky coming in. The last time that Volodymyr Zelensky acted or arrived into Ireland, there was drone activity into which we didn't do much. We didn't interdict the drones that were there. And at the time, it wasn't even known where the drones were coming from. Are we in a better position now in terms of defence of that kind of thing, in terms of defence from activity from the Shadow Fleet?
So I would ask the question of you, do you think we had a successful visit the last time? Because there's a lot of talk about drones and what happened or didn't happen. We had a hugely successful visit when President Zelensky came the last time. We have seen in other countries where there was drone activity, where issues emerged, airspace was closed down, hundreds of millions of euros were lost, there were flights that were redirected, rediverted. We had a hugely successful presidency, and I have no doubt, I'm absolutely confident that over the next 6 months, today, which is a big day, the College of Commissioners, where we have all our commissioners coming to Cork and some of the larger events, we will have a successful presidency. We're not immune to risks, the same as any other country.
Are we equipped to counter those risks? Have we got things, for instance, like counter-drone technology?
We do. Absolutely. And again, I think it's lost on the point here that, you know, the Gardaí are responsible for the security. They've been planning for this for some time. They are assisted and will be supported by the Defence Forces where that is needed. But for the most part, this has been developed and this has been directed by An Garda Síochána. And they've been working for years on this. We have capabilities that are being built up and we will continue to build up our capabilities. But again, I stress, countries that have much larger armies that are not neutral, that are part of NATO, they have seen risks, they have responded to threats and they have had to deal with them in the same way that we will and that we do. We're not immune to it. So I'm absolutely confident we have what we need in place.
But are we reliant on other member states, or are we able to defend ourselves against those kind of risks and threats with new equipment recently bought?
So let me put it to you. So the presidency that just concluded Cyprus, they would have had support and they would have had engagement with other member states. Denmark, who had the presidency before them, they would have worked closely with other European member states. We are no different in that regard. We have the counter-drone technology that we need. We have obviously a large security presence that's going to happen or take place where we have larger events, where we have heads of states coming in. I am absolutely confident, and I think people are, that we have in place what we need to have a safe and secure presidency. But, you know, it is about trying to bring this back to people. Well, what does this mean? I got into the car this morning. I was listening to the news you're on News here on News Talk, and the first thing I heard was about road closures. And I don't want people to think that that's all that this is. Yes, you will have a number of big events.
Seagulls from what we hear from
Sean.
Look,
you're going to have a number of events where you have a large number coming into the city, and actually 25% of the events are outside of the city in Dublin. So you'll have a chance to show off the country and who we are and what we do. But it is important, and Sean Defoe said this, how do we make this relevant to people who are listening coming in the morning? I was speaking to one of my neighbours last night. He is a farmer, and himself and his son get up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock every morning. How is this relevant to them? It's relevant because the EU budget that you mentioned, it's absolutely essential. We have a strong CAP budget. 70% of farmers' receipts come from CAP, and we will be in charge of negotiating that. How they access it, I'm constantly hearing that the bureaucracy, it's too much. We have a huge simplification agenda, making it easier to access these
and
types of European funds.
And do we have a more real tangible influence by virtue of holding the presidency? Does it make an actual difference in the room when these things are discussed, that you happen to be the president?
So we are the neutral arbiter. We are the middle ground here, but we're the ones that bring people together. So as I said, over the next few months, we will be setting out a number of different scenarios, whether we have a larger budget, a smaller budget, where that money goes to, how it's spent, how it's then divided up. So of course, we are the ones holding the pen. We are the ones bringing people together. And it matters, not just from the budget perspective, but all of the other areas. So the competitiveness agenda, it's one of the key things we want to focus on. Why does that matter? People that I, you know, side by side in the car with this morning, the people that are going to work, if you work in the life science or the pharma sector, we have huge ambition in putting in place a new strategic framework that would set out a trajectory and a plan for that sector across Europe in the time ahead. And I've been working really closely with commissioners, with member states to move on that working project and to get that in place. It's the work that we're doing on Savings and Investments Union. You look at the UK. You look at the fact that they're able to access venture capital money. You look at the fact that their regulatory environment. Exactly. And we're talking about this a long time. And that's why we've set out a number of key deliverables that we want to do. It's a savings and investments union. It's making it easier if you're a small business here in Ireland and you want to set up a business in Spain, that you don't have to duplicate every single thing you've done here in Spain. So, you know, again, look, the security side of it is absolutely essential.
We
need to have a safe and secure presidency.
Conclusion.
This means to people, it's important to get that message across.
We have Volodymyr Zelensky visiting today. How much of a humiliation was it for you as minister and us as a nation when we said to the Ukrainians, you can have our fleet of light tactical armoured vehicles, and they say, no, you're all right?
Do you know what? I think this has been blown out of proportion in terms of what actually happened here. So we've provided lots of different support. We've provided lots of different resources. The particular fleet that we've had, that we offered, they don't use it there. So it actually would have been more challenging and difficult in terms of them having to train up people to use
their jeeps.
So
it doesn't take that long to train somebody. They took one look at them and went, we do not want those.
I'm going to say no. I mean, we've provided different support in different ways to Ukraine. We've provided funding directly, but we've also provided different types of equipment and support.
Which they have taken. And in this instance, they looked and they said, you made an investment so bad that we, despite being in the throes of a war and desperate for support, don't want them.
No, I don't agree. And that's not the feedback that we have. What they've been clear in saying is that these are not the type of vehicles, they're not the type of equipment that they've used, and that it would be more straightforward for us to be able to provide support in other ways. And I mean, Zelensky is coming here and has chosen to come here on the day that we are launching the presidency, because he knows the support that we provide, because he's absolutely certain of the support that we will provide in the next 6 months. I mean, my role in the Foreign Affairs Council is to make sure that Ukraine and the support for Ukraine, the pressure that we have to put on Russia, that is maintained. And that's why he's coming here. We have a strong relationship. We have a close relationship. You know, we can blow up something like this and say, well, isn't this awful? But we're actually continuing to provide them with a huge amount of support. And it's something that I know they are extremely grateful for. And I've no doubt that we'll discuss this when I sit down with them for a bilateral this afternoon as well.
Minister, thank you very much. That is Helen McEntee, Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence. If you want to get in touch, 53106 or 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.